B-Pod Studios.
Auto Group. Catch him at BernardiAutoGroup.com. Ron in Newport is a Celtics star. Go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, I wouldn't read too much into what Danny's saying. I guarantee you that he's looking to make a trade right now, potentially to upgrade the roster. We don't know what Giannis is going to do, but Giannis has to agree to extend before this season, or the Bucks are going to have to trade him, and so only the Warriors and the Celtics are really viable trade targets there. Danny.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Never, not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
The guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
I saw Patrick Mahomes putting on a clinic out there. Easy work of the Ravens. So with that being said, Max, who is a threat to this Chiefs team in the AFC?
In the NFL, really, because with the money on the line, I don't like anyone better than Patrick Mahomes with a great coach and a great offense and a defense that can stiffen up when they need to. But if I had to pick a team in the AFC, I'm going to take the Patriots. Everyone lamented the lack of weapons that Brady didn't have. He didn't have the weapons on offense. In fact, part of that is true last year. Part of it is that he's not a dual threat quarterback as Cam is, which can make your weapons better because there's a threat of the run from the quarterback. And part of it is it's not just drafting, because Belichick's been criticized at times for his draft, certain picks. It's also development. It's draft and development. The reason the Patriots are so good always is because it's not just the draft. They then develop players. So let's look at a couple of the players that have been developing, and we've seen it this year. N'Keal Harry, right? Mm-hmm. That was a bust. Well, maybe it's not going to be a bust. Mm-hmm. Maybe not. The way, you see signs. You take all that, and then you have Belichick as coach. They have one loss on the season, and it was a great goal line stand by the Seahawks, who everyone says is a top three team in the NFL right now, and they beat the Patriots by the skin of their teeth. So I think in the end, a Belichick-coached team with developing offensive players and a dynamic quarterback is probably the best shot that anyone's going to have against the Chiefs in the AFC.
Max, I'm going to completely agree with you on that because of the coaching of Bill Belichick, figuring out a way to somewhat neutralize you and give your team a chance to win the game, to be in it.
Belichick. Belichick. That's what this one's about, to me. If the Pats have a chance this week, yes, they have the highest paid secondary in football. They have the highest paid positional group in all of football. They're secondary. So they're kind of built this way. You look at that. Or you look at Cam Newton. So he can run around and make a bunch of plays too. He showed you in Seattle that he can put up 30 and he can throw the ball if he has to. So is Cam Newton going to go in there and stare down Patrick Mahomes? I don't look at it in either of those ways. I look at Belichick. And that to me is what this is about. Great litmus test game. Real litmus test game. All right, so you're 2-1 without Brady. You beat Miami and Oakland at home. Vegas. I mean, come on. Give me a break. And you almost showed us something in Seattle, almost, but you lost, contrary to the commentary here in town. They did actually lose that ball game.
A moral victory.
And there was an interception, not a pick six, Maz, but an interception from Cam Newton in that game that seemed to get swept under the rug as well. So what have they, if we're going to be fair about it, what have they really shown us? All they've shown is that they look a little bit better than I think some people thought.
Absolutely, right.
Okay, so, but it's just an appearance, in terms of the actual, results, the actual, scoreboard, if you will. They really haven't showed you anything. They won the games they should have won. They lost the game they should have lost. If they win this one, though, it's about Belichick. And again, I just go back to this great stat from our guy, Boston Sports Inf. 20 times as a head coach, including Cleveland, including the playoffs. So any game Bill has coached in the NFL as a head coach, there have been 20 times he has been a 7-point underdog or more, 7 or more points, 20 times. He's 16-4 versus the spread in those games. So They get blown out every now and then, but it's from out of nowhere. Belichick almost never gets blown out when he's expected to get blown out. Like that, that's the way that I'd put it.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, look, again, if you're telling me there are elements there that can give you cause for optimism, if you're a Patriots fan, sure. And look, if they can pull this game off, and I would say really independent of whether it's a trap game for Kansas City or any of that, it's the kind of game that's a signature win. I mean, it's one that elevates your profile and your status and, you know, your power ranking, if you want to get into that nonsense. And I say nonsense, I'm all in favor of it. But you get the idea. Yeah. It's a massive game.
Oh, no. That would show you something. Again, the Patriots offense put up 16 points at home against this Kansas City team when they played at the end of last year. 16 at home, and 7 came on a double pass, you know, dipsy-do, fake play. If this offense looks better and produces better, then, you know, that's going to show us something, too. But if you lose by 24 points, you know, no one's really going to care. It's about going in and winning the ball game. You know, I just went and looked at it. So he's 16-4 versus the spread in those 20 times he's a 7-point underdog or more. He's won nine of them. So he's 9-11 in those 20 games, which I would assume is a pretty good record. You know, if it's a 50-50 proposition when you're a prohibitive underdog, I think that's a pretty good number too. So Belichick, this one's about Belichick to me, which is why Jim is rooting for the Chiefs so hard this week. It's not even funny.
Yeah, I'm rooting for my take is what I'm rooting
for. Of course,
for.
Fair enough. That's
the Belichick-Brady battle.
How about that's Big Jim Murray. How about Jim in Newburyport? What do you think, Jim?
Well, for years, you guys have been criticizing coaches for going out of their mind to do stupid things to beat the Patriots. And I don't expect Belichick to be that way. If he's got a third, a fourth and 7 from the 15-yard line, they're kicking the field goal.
God, I hope not. Go for it. Are you kidding me? Yeah, I don't think you're going to beat the Chiefs with 3. He's not that coach. He understands. I mean,
and you can't trust your kicker either. Like, if it's just, you're not going to be able to beat this team if you're going down there a couple of times and you're settling for a couple of field goals and you're leading 6-0. Like, the onslaught's going to end up happening with that.
Yeah, this was Harbaugh's problem the other day.
Yeah.
Didn't he do that a couple times?
Yeah, to me, it depends on the situation. He said 4th and 7 at the 15. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
The caller? So, look, it depends on the spot, what your passing game looks like up until that point. Like,
I mean, are you going up and down? Right, exact. Good point, Mez.
Yeah, like, I think it all depends on sort of where you are, what the score is, like all of that. So, if you're telling me early in the game.
First possession of the game, 4th and 7 from their 15.
Go for it.
Go for it.
Thank you. So, end of the game, and it's 42-41, you know, whatever. And you've been going up and down the field.
Well, then you're kicking. Yeah, then you're kicking.
Well, no, if you're down a point. I'm just saying if you've had success against their defense all game long, keep going.
Well, again, now tell me how much time's on the clock. If you can't make a kick from the, you know, from the 15-yard line, then forget it.
I'm not worried about missing the kick. I'm worried about only putting 3 on the board. You can't put field goals up against Mahomes.
Yeah, sooner or later, you're going to need stops to beat Kansas City. You're built with your secondary. So at some point, the theory being that you want to lose with your best unit on the field, so to speak. So I'll take my chances with the secondary.
Will and Shrewsbury.
You put your unit out there, I'll put mine.
Will and Shrewsbury has a Celtics thought. Hi, Will.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I got 2 trades that I think if the Celtics pull them off, that would be huge. The first one's a little bit more realistic. You send Gordon Hayward and a first-rounder to Indiana. He goes home for Miles Turner. And now the second one. If we want to get really wild now, we send Kemba and Jaylen and 4 firsts to the Clippers. Kawhi isn't happy. Let's bring him home. Come on.
Bring him home?
Big.
Boston?
Oh, you didn't know he grew up here?
Yeah. Lifelong? Yeah, you grew up in Eastie, right? What do you mean, bring him home? What do you mean, bring him home? How do you know he wants anything to do with Boston?
Yeah, let's not get in a, you know, stupid.
Let's not get stupid. And your 4 first-round picks are useless. How many times do you have to tell? Why are you still on the first round pick thing? They don't want your lousy 14th pick.
Right. Hang up the phone on you.
You've got 14, 28, and 30 this year. What are the Clippers going to do with that?
And I'm not sure you're getting anything for Gordon Hayward either. Like, let's not get delusional about sending him home to Indiana.
Hayward and your first. A team's going to look at that and go, I don't want any of that. Not for Miles Turner, not for anything. I'm not even going to give you nothing for. I don't want those things. They're delusional Celtics fans.
I mean, you know. When Gasper raised Marcus Smart to Indiana for Turner, like,
Okay, now you're talking.
Yeah, now I think we're somewhere in the area. What about, I mean, I think you have to give up more in that scenario, but what about Marcus Smart and Robert Williams?
Yeah, so now you're young, developed players. They're going to have to match some money somewhere. And again, like I said, as trade filler, those first-round picks are valuable for teams to fill out the bottom of the roster. So, like, that's where those first-round picks come into play, that they're just sort of like sweeteners at the end. But they're not, like, real chips. You're out of real chips. The chips are over. Chips are done. Unless you want to trade Smart, Brown, or Tatum, you know, and, you know, in ascending order of importance.
You want anything real, you got to give up one of those guys.
John in Connecticut on the Pats. Hi, John.
Hi, hey, Maz. I honestly thought you were going to take out your unit when that Jimmy Garoppolo scenario came up.
Oh, it was tasty.
So I'm glad you didn't.
How do you know I didn't? But,
well, yeah, you're right. Well, I'm just glad I didn't see it, I guess.
go ahead.
So, I'm a little surprised by this Cam Newton, you know, honeymoon phase right now. I mean, what has he, like, done for the team to be at any different place than where they are right now at 2-1? I mean, I think I agree with you, Felger, that even if we had Hoyer out there, we'd be 2-1 right now.
I agree with that.
What's he done?
I honestly think right now we should just be in love with Bill Belichick because he's kind of just proving that, hey, you know what? I could get kind of any QB here, and I could work with his strengths, and we would be competing at any point.
John?
You know?
Gold star, baby. Excellent call. Suck on that, Murray.
It's because you pumped up my Hoyer theory, like, which means nothing. Like, ooh, they'd be 2-1 still, even if they had Hoyer or Stidham. Like, which means absolutely nothing because you beat terrible teams in Miami and Vegas. What's he done, though? He's not been Tom. That's why people have enjoyed him so far. He's not been a pain in the ass to Bill. He's been nice to the young guys. He's willing to work with anyone. He's the new guy at the office.
Well, I also think he's been better than we kind of expected. Like, I don't think people were expecting that Seattle game.
No, definitely not.
And that's really what it's about. And, you know, even the running thing, which you knew he could do.
He looks healthy. But, you know, that's a plus.
But I mean, did you? I mean, he's done it in the past, but do you think he'd be running like that? So, like, just the sheer breadth of the impact, running in the first week, throwing in the second week, it's looked better than I think most of us thought.
Yeah, I think Murray's got it right. He's healthy. He looks healthy. He looks like he did, you know, 3 years ago. So, and that's good. And I hope he can sustain it. You know, I just still have my doubts about their ability to throw in Kansas City. I do. And I'm not telling you Kansas City's any sort of great defense because they're not. But I just think really the only evidence we have of them being able to throw over any sort of sustained period of time was in that Seattle game. And everybody has thrown on Seattle. Everybody. So I need to see it again in a big game. I need to see it again.
Okay. Maybe we'll see it on Sunday. Just hope we don't, Murray. Just hope we don't. It's going to be a rough month for you because, again, then it's Denver.
And it's the bye week.
Win. Then it's the bye week.
And then they got the win. Niners, right, coming out of the bye. That's another win.
That's a loss.
Because those dummies will start Garoppolo.
We'll see. Just don't let the Pats win this one, Murray. Give us an update first, and we're back to your phones on Agenda Free Friday. Couple open phones if you want to give us a jingle.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's not complaining.
Oh, you had a mean boss. Aw.
It's just Felger.
No, 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 no. It's always no.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Continue with your phones. Benny's in Pennsylvania on Bam Adebayo. Go ahead, Benny.
Hey, yes, I just wanted to say about the game one with the Celtics when Bam Adebayo blocked Tatum on that dunk.
Yeah,
he's been complaining about his shoulder. I'm surprised nobody's noticed that.
And so that he actually hurt himself on that block. It's possible.
Yeah, I wouldn't rule that out.
Yeah,
because from every other game from there on, he's been complaining about his shoulder.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it didn't stop him from getting 32-14 or whatever it was in game six.
Dunking on your ass. So, sure, that didn't help you. And I'm sure, you know, having Anthony Davis throttle him didn't help him either.
But, I mean, look, the bottom line is whether Adebayo was hurt or not, the Celtics had no answer. Now Miami has no answer for Anthony Davis. So I'm sorry. That one I do feel like the transitive property applies. Mm-hmm. Like, who on the Celtics is going to be able to handle Anthony Davis? The answer, nobody.
Steven in the car on the B's here on Agenda Free Friday. Go ahead, Steven. Steven, you can call us back. You obviously know the number as well. Mike in the truck on some of our baseball thoughts this week. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on the conversation from yesterday. Felger, you had said that postseason baseball is one of the greatest things in sports to watch. The problem is you have 162 snooze fests to get through till you get there. And, you know, the worst part to me is the huge contracts that these baseball players get. They're being paid that money to entertain us, but they're not entertaining us. They're putting us to sleep. Sometimes, literally.
Okay. Thanks for the, you know, I think your calls are a little sleepy as well, Mike. As the mellowest caller we have on a daily basis.
Hey.
Pick it up, dude. Pick it up a little bit.
I am not a fan of baseball. I find baseball boring.
Feels like it's your pace, though, Mike in the truck.
Yeah, I want to follow up on what you guys were saying yesterday.
What I was saying yesterday is that an individual tense postseason at bat is hard to beat. Or a tense postseason inning with a lot on the line. That is great.
But everything building up to it and getting there was mostly useless. I'm with the caller.
But it's like, you know, when you have, you know, 18 of those over a four-hour stretch, it sort of loses its luster.
Yeah, it's too much. Look, again, it's too much. They don't do anything for the fan.
The games are too much of a grind.
I mean, and I like the drama of postseason baseball, too. You know, I go back to Game 7s and the one the Giants played that year. Who the hell was that against? Was that Texas? Well, there was a Game 7, or maybe it was Kansas City, actually. And it was like, now that was good eating. That was a good game. And you wish if baseball could bottle that and somehow put more of that in every game, it would be bearable. The game moves way too freaking slow. Nothing happens. Why do people, like, why does everybody understand this except the people running the game? It's excruciating. It's painful.
Bob in Harwich, what do you got for us, Bob?
Hey, guys, I saw that Victor Oladipo kind of indicated he wanted out of Indiana. I was wondering if you guys thought he'd be a good fit for the team, maybe that guy that could hit the big shot down the stretch.
Sure. And so I mentioned this earlier, Bob. It's like, so what, now you have another mouth to feed? Now there's another guy getting touches ahead of Tatum and Brown, never mind Smart. And it's like, no, they need to start paring it down and, you know, defining roles. Not taking, you know, don't you agree with that, Maz?
Yes. Like,
I mean, so they need the shooter. They need him off the bench. Victor Oladipo is not a bench player. A freaking all-star, borderline all-star. He's not coming off. That's a waste. Makes too much money to come off the bench. So now you're going to have to get him his?
So you get rid of Smart. You find a trading partner for him somehow. Or maybe he's involved in the deal and getting Oladipo here. You convince Kemba Walker to be a bench player because we don't trust your knee anymore. And be happy you're getting the money you're getting. And there's your guy, Victor Oladipo with Brown and Tatum.
Okay. Yeah, to me, though, but as I said the other day...
Well, Hayward's got to go, too, then.
Oladipo doesn't fill a hole. That's the problem. He's a good player.
Oh, just give it time. He'll hurt himself and be out for months anyway.
Yeah, to me, the holes on the team are apparent. They need a big guy, and they need a pure shooter. Oladipo is neither. He's a scorer, but he's not a pure shooter. He's not one of these guys that just sits out there and snipes. He's not that.
Here's Steven in Tewksbury. Excuse me. Go ahead, Steven.
Hey, guys, listen, do you guys know when the schedule could come out for the future of the Bruins and the Celtics here in Boston?
No, why?
Well, I spoke to somebody a couple of 3 weeks ago, and they said that the building was talking to the government. Now, I don't know if it was the feds or if it was local about, you know, reopening the arenas and, you know, the good possibility of suites being open more so because a lot of companies where their employees work together and everything so far they've been safe, that those would open up, a hell of a lot faster than, the regular seating.
Yeah.
Especially if you're going to keep people distances. But I just don't know if they're going to start around the beginning of December or Christmas time. Or
January is my guess, Stephen. January.
Yeah, January is what the NHL has been realistically looking at. And
Silver even mentioned something about it as well.
He did, yeah.
Or maybe Christmas.
And they're going to want some fans in the stands. So the suite sort of makes sense. You keep staying in your own pod, you know. And so it's – and I just think it's – I mean, that's what you're looking at.
I don't doubt that they're gearing up for something. They have to be thinking about it. And I know someone, one of the news guys down in Providence last week at the Patriots game put out a photo of, they've already marked off like the 6-foot stuff for concessions. So, I mean, I know it hasn't been approved by, you know, Baker, but they got to be thinking about it if they're already doing that kind of thing.
Here's Bob in Texas on the Celts. Go ahead, Bob.
Yes, sir. What about if we go back in time and you had a choice between Russell, the Chief, and Perkins? Who would you like to see? Because right now we've been, 10 years without a center?
Okay, Bob, a lot of teams don't have centers. And I'm not going to engage you on that
Bill
first
Russell
question.
And Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah, that's...
well, boy, that's a tough call.
But, Maz, you're big on they need a center.
I just think that the landscape now requires it. And when I say the landscape, I'm talking about the East. You need somebody to deal with Giannis. You need someone to deal with Adebayo because that was a major problem. So, like, how are you going to win against these teams? It's an issue. And when I say a big guy, I'm not talking about a big, you know, just a big stiff that you plop in front of the hoop. I'm okay with a quote-unquote modern big, a guy like Robert Williams if he pans out, right? That's what I mean. That type of big man. I'm okay with that. But you got to get someone who can play both ends of the floor. They don't have that. It's musical chairs with them. They try to piece it together. It just, it's a hard way to do it. Because, you got to wait for breaks and play and... You got to get a guy who's got some size that can play both ends of the floor.
Long commercial-free segment is next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Hey, guys.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger Mass.
Okay, when you call and say three things, you're going to have to wait for me to reach for a pen.
Number one.
And then I'm going to have to write it down.
Because they know how to build winning relationships.
I, for one, am not smart enough to keep 2 or 3 things in my head.
Felger Mass.
So we prefer just a single thought.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Tyreek Hill is now in the backfield after shifting. Sprint on action. They shovel it into the sausage. Touchdown, Kansas City. An inside shovel pass. The sausage surprises the Ravens on a 5-yard touchdown shovel to the sausage, Anthony Sherman.
The old sausage surprise. Again. You don't want to be surprised by that one. You want to see it coming if you possibly can. But that's Andy Reid. That's Andy Reid.
I don't want to know the backstory behind that one. How do you get the nickname the sausage?
From here, again, I not that I knew this, but Bedard said it.
Find out when you're in the shower.
I guess.
Good. Just Google sausage. What's his first name? Sherman?
Anthony.
Anthony Sherman sausage. I don't know if we'll get past the firewall, but, you know, give it a shot.
I mean, you know, how do you think Randy Johnson got his name? Like,
it's a fair point. It's a fair point.
So apparently it's something that Andy Reid said. He said he's got crazy hands. You think of him as a sausage, right? So he goes out and he's a sausage with hands. It's a good thing. That's actually even better because Andy Reid just looks at a human being.
Yes, he wants to eat him.
And sees food.
Yeah, put some brown mustard on him. And,
I get it.
Peppers and onions.
He's built like a sausage.
Yeah. I'm getting hungry.
Pork sausage.
Patrick's built like a prime rib. Just want to cover him in gravy.
Anyway, the sausage surprise. That's what matters most. Let's do what matters most from the Week in Sports presented by Kaplansky Insurance. They protect what matters most. For auto, home, or business insurance, experience the Kaplansky difference today. Yes, there is a difference. Kaplansky.com. Just this matchup, Andy Reid, Bill Belichick. Andy Reid is the best offensive coach in the game. Like, I'll give you that for sure. Andy Reid torched you when he had Alex Smith. But as you think about it, Maz, was it really big plays that always took you down?
Yes, yeah.
You know, so it's like the sausage here, the inside sausage surprise, it was that shovel pass, you know, that they ran, that Reid loves, these little inside shovel passes. But Reed, you know, Reed is the master of all this motion, and these guys going this way and that, and Tyreek Hill in the backfield, motioning to the left, motioning to the right. Pat Mahomes faking right, faking left, throwing up the middle. Like, it's just all this dipsy-do. Like, is that what the Patriots should be worried about?
No.
Like I sort of wonder if that gets in the way sometimes. It's like, line up with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, this new young running back, put Harmon on one side, no one can catch him, and just play. All this dinking around, I wonder if Reed is just, he's just playing with himself, really, with the freaking play sheet.
So, but he's had success against Belichick and the Patriots, right?
Yes, but with big plays, not the dipsy-do, double-fake-a-roo crap.
Right, so that's what I'm saying, though, is that maybe, my recollection, I don't know, we haven't seen a lot of it against the Patriots. Maybe he can do it against a team like Baltimore, because he can use it against them, but against the Patriots, he says, we're not going to do it that way, we're just going to run. And so this is the part that worries me, is that go back to the AFC Championship game. The Patriots really smothered them in the first half of that game. And the Chiefs, I think they were scoreless, right? The Chiefs got 31 all in the second half. And my recollection was they started throwing a Williams out of the backfield. Mm-hmm. So the problem with the Chiefs is they will throw to everybody. They'll throw to everybody. So you say what Belichick's calling card is, we're going to take away what you do best. Fine, go ahead. I still got three other guys I can throw to. And that's where they're going to get tested. And this is why he's got all the DBs back there. Because he knows against Kansas City, you got to cover six guys. Or basically five. I mean, you can have no more than five.
Well, so, and then Andy Reid goes out and throws to the tackle last week.
I mean, so I just think that they're virtually impossible to cover unless you have six defensive backs, which the Patriots do. So I'm eager to see how it goes. I think there's a chance that, the Chiefs are going to have to run the ball in this game or throw to Edwards-Helaire.
Okay.
Like, I think he's a huge guy in this game.
Back to your phones. Tom in Boston. What do you got for us, Tom?
Hey, guys. I was thinking about getting nuts for baseball playoff format. So we think about season ends in July. August kicks off. August is a dead month for sports. We turn it into a March Madness-style tournament. Teams are ranked 1 to 30 based on their regular season schedule. What this is going to do, single elimination games, Cinderella story, and the biggest thing, gambling.
Cinderella, I'm talking about your phone's not good enough. We're not doing 30 teams. 16 is preposterous. This is fun. Again, I like this, except for the games. But the tournament's fun. But it's too much. You can't have 16 to 30. You got to have something to the regular season. You got to have some reason to invest in the regular season. So I'm all for expanded playoffs with buys. And I think, make the division winners buys, let in more playoff teams, have more of these quick elimination round games. Ideally they're one-offs, but the two out of threes aren't bad. One city, 3 days in a row. Don't take up too much time. And give some incentive to win that division so there's a race there going up to the playoffs whenever they begin.
Yeah, look, I like the idea of including, of having some more playoffs and shortening the regular season. I do like that. But I don't want, I don't want more than half the field in the postseason.
Josh and Walpole with the Patriots thought. Hi, Josh.
Hey, guys. Maz, I heard last week you trying to readdress your Sony Michel take that he does not or does
blow. We resurrected suck and blow. He's terrible.
After a year and a half of getting off of that take, I don't think you can get back on. But I really just want to hear Matt say it. Does he suck or blow, or does he not?
He'll never justify being a first-round pick.
Oh, wait a minute. You can't take it back now. We resurrected it.
We had take Easter.
Take Easter.
Wait a minute. I told you where I settled on Sony Michel. That, there's no way you can justify a first-round pick on that guy. He's ordinary.
No. Suck and blow.
Yeah. Okay, so you're going to make me pick?
Yeah.
I got to pick one or the other?
Yes. Yeah.
Fine. He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
Thank you.
Yeah. You can't middle that one.
Yeah, don't middle that.
So there you go.
You gave up on it way too early. We had to bring it back, but we can't keep going back and forth.
So he had one good game. He's one good game a year, and all of a sudden we're going to say that he's back.
So, Beadle was saying this today. There's some people think he might not be active this week. If Damian Harris gets the sniff, right, you're going to want James White in there. Period. I'd rather have Burkhead than Michel as well, just because what he can do in the passing game. So now you're White, Burkhead. Who's your third? Is it Taylor or how many running backs are you going to take to the game? You usually don't take more than three. So is it Michel or Damian Harris?
Oh, I'd rather have Damian Harris.
Based on what we heard about him in camp, I think I'd prefer Harris.
So, I mean,
I want all guys who can catch. I do. Now, what I don't know is Harris in the passing game in terms of, you know, blitz pickup, stuff like that. But I'll take my chances with Harris, White, and Burkhead.
Let's grab Tom and Quincy on the Pats. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, I was curious about this matchup with the Chiefs on Sunday on who's going to get Kelce. I think they should put Duggar on Kelce. He went up against Waller against the Raiders last week after Juwan Williams got benched after those two penalties. He played pretty well, and he hits well, he tackles well. My only question, if you keep him on a tight end on these big games with these guys that can score and catch the ball, when you're going against lesser offenses that run it, do you think that they should treat him more like the Colts used to use Bob Sanders and keep him up at the line and kind of play against the run totally and sell out on that because he's that athletic?
Yeah, I mean, I think they like those, like, chunk plays that way, right? I think they like that idea. But this week, just that first point, Tom, you know, they tried to sign Aqib Talib.
Correct.
And they wanted him to play tight ends.
Yep.
So they were going to sign him for this week.
Yeah.
Like, they were going to sign him to play Travis Kelce, which sort of gives you an insight into their mindset, right, about treating Kelce like a receiver and coverage being that important. It's really how they've built their team in the secondary. It's where the money is. And it's like, so that this is, you know, part of my thinking. It's like, Bill, also, are you going to stop one of these high-powered offenses? This is you've built your defense for this game.
Correct.
So let's see it. And I don't know, Duggar on Kelce as a rookie, I don't love it.
It's a lot to ask.
I like Juwan Williams there a little bit more, but either way, what do you got up your sleeve, Bill? This is how you've built your team for this opponent this week.
Let's Isn't Juwan Williams 6'3"? I mean, and Duggar's like 6'1", right? I'd take the longer, you know, the longer guy there. But look, this is entirely what they've done. And it's, you know, Kansas City to me is what, Bill's no fool. Okay, so he understands who you have to get through to win the conference, whether Brady's here or not. So he looked at it. He started building for the Kansas City pass attack 2 years ago, for crying out loud. He looked at them and said, we have serious problems here. We need a lot of guys who can cover because that team's impossible to match up with. So he went out and got, stacked the defensive backfield. So now, look, do they have the pass rush to go with it? Do they have enough guys down the depth chart in terms of coverage to be able to handle Robinson and Hardman and Edwards-Helaire? I don't know. Like, but in theory, this is what it's for. He's built it for this game and this opponent.
Okay, final hour coming up, in which it will be a Gasper hour. I was not aware that Gasper pushed back his stint 1 hour, which is just fine. We still get Christopher. So he'll be joining us on the other side. This is an agenda-free Friday. It is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Murray's update takes 90 seconds. There are no commercials. Then we come back and we get Gasper on Patriots, Chiefs, and the Celtics.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Sports Hub.
And now,
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mass.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mass.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell out for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
A quick follow, Bill. Patrick Mahomes. What are your thoughts on him as a player?
I mean, all the superlatives that have been said about him, I'd just be repeating them all.
So that sort of set the tone for the week. Bill Belichick, who will talk your face off about a punter, wouldn't even give you anything on Patrick Mahomes. Wonder what the rationale was behind that. Gasper joining us now. What do you think? Was there a rationale behind that, Chris?
I don't know. I mean, I think maybe he just doesn't want his guys to buy into the Kansas City hype. You've covered Bill. You know, he wants his guys to think these guys are mortal. They make mistakes. You know, we don't have to do anything out of the ordinary to beat them.
It's the rare event where he actually has to talk down an opponent to give his team confidence. It's almost always the opposite, that he has to talk up an opponent to get his team focused for a game that they should wipe the floor with. You know what I mean?
Which tells you that deep down he thinks his team's a little brittle.
Oh, yeah. Well, or that they're just overmatched.
Well, right. I mean, what's the difference?
He has to play tricks.
Yeah.
Well, brittle, it denotes that they're, like, mentally fragile or something. They just don't have the talent. to run with this team.
I mean, also, like, but I do look at some of the younger guys and say, I don't know, is N'Keal Harry mentally tough?
I don't know. I mean,
I believe in Edelman. Like, I'm not saying I believe in the offensive line. I believe in the secondary's mental toughness. But I don't know, some of the other guys?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub.
And now, I'm just trying to spell it out for the listeners.
Felger and Mazz.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mazz.
Q-U-I-T quick.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
A quick follow, Bill. Patrick Mahomes. What are your thoughts on him as a player?
I mean, all the superlatives that have been said about him, I'd just be repeating them all.
So that sort of set the tone for the week. Bill Belichick, who will talk your face off about a punter, wouldn't even give you anything on Patrick Mahomes. Wonder what the rationale was behind that. Gasper joining us now. What do you think? Was there a rationale behind that, Chris?
I don't know. I mean, I think maybe he just doesn't want his guys to buy into the Kansas City hype. You've covered Bill. You know, he wants his guys to think these guys are mortal. They make mistakes. You know, we don't have to do anything out of the ordinary to beat them.
It's the rare event where he actually has to talk down an opponent to give his team confidence. It's almost always the opposite, that he has to talk up an opponent to get his team focused for a game that they should wipe the floor with. You know what I mean?
Which tells you that deep down he thinks his team's a little brittle.
Oh, yeah. Well, or that they're just overmatched.
Well, right. I mean, what's the difference?
He has to play tricks.
Yeah.
Well, brittle, it denotes that they're like mentally fragile or something. They just don't have the talent to run with this team.
I mean, also, like, but I do look at some of the younger guys and say, I don't know, is N'Keal Harry mentally tough?
I don't know. I
believe in Edelman. Like, I'm not saying I believe in the offensive line. I believe in the secondary's mental toughness. But I don't know. Some of the other guys, I don't know. Do they think they're good enough to beat Kansas City?
Oh, I don't know. All right. Maybe it is a mental thing. Chris Gasper is powered by the commuter rail. The 5-day flex pass has been extended through December 31st. Get 5 discounted 1-day tickets, each good for 24-hour unlimited travel. Perfect for commuting a few days a week. Visit mbta.com/fares and get the flex pass only on the M Ticket app. Chris, how do you look at this matchup? Are the Patriots porked?
No, I mean, I don't think that they are pork necessarily, but I think
can you say porked on Channel 5? They let you say that?
I don't know, but I think what's interesting about this is we're gonna learn a lot, I feel, about the offense. Can they keep up? The Seattle game, I think, was a feel good for everybody, but now you look at it, do you realize Cam Newton, and granted he fell 3 yards short, so this is sort of a typical Felger and Mazz take here, but you know he's the only quarterback Seattle's faced this year who hasn't topped 400 yards. So how much of that was the passing attack and the weapons they have, and how much of that was Seattle not having a good secondary to begin with and then losing 2 free safeties?
What do you think?
I think it had more to do with Seattle.
Me too.
And the fact that they play cover 3, the secondary to me is not that impressive to begin with, and they lost 2 free safeties. Now we'll see. You know, Gunnar Olszewski should be back. We'll see if he can make a difference here. I just have a hard time seeing the Patriots being able to, for an entire game, I think they can do it for a half, but for an entire game, just running the football down the throat of the Chiefs and playing keep away and scoring enough points to beat Kansas City. Because I don't think this year's defense is playing at the level that last year's defense was when they held Mahomes to 23 points.
How's this Kansas City defense? How would you compare it to Seattle?
Well, I would say I think it's better, except for they're banged up at cornerback a little bit. Charvarius Ward is on the injury list. The rookie, Legarius Sneed, is not going to play. Bashaud Breeland is out. I believe he's suspended. So if the Patriots are still the Patriots, and I said this before Seattle too, if the Patriots are still the Patriots and they're going to look at the other team and say, what can we exploit, then I don't think you necessarily come out and it's all ground and pound, because where you can get after Kansas City, I would think, and where you could exploit them would be in the passing game, right? If you have the guys to get it done. If you don't think you have the guys to get it done, then you don't do that and you play keep away, or sort of the old Dean Smith four corners, which if you remember in 2008 when Brady was out and they had Matt Cassel, that was their game plan in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Their game plan literally had nothing to do with exploiting the weaknesses of the Colts. It was, we have to shorten this game, and they did a brilliant job of it. I think Cassel had a fumble on a fourth and one, or Bill called a timeout, I think, on a fourth and one that they had converted, and they had to settle for a field goal. They would have kept going. So they, maybe he dusts off that game plan. But I think if they're still the Patriots that we know and love, they come out and sling it a little bit and say, we're going to attack these corners.
I agree. And you don't think the Pats are ready to do it?
I don't. I mean, unless Olszewski's, you know, going to be Danny Amendola.
Wait, hold on. All of a sudden, Gunnar Olszewski is like the key to this thing?
He looked really good in camp.
I was going to say, that's all I kept hearing is,
yeah,
he looks like a different player.
I mean, there were times, the games that I covered, the practices that I covered, he looked really good. We'll see how much of that translates, but he was getting open against Stephon Gilmore. Now, maybe that doesn't quite mean as much as we thought it did at the time, based on the start to the season, but I was really impressed. I definitely think that if he's healthy, he's a guy that they should be. To me, if he's healthy, he's the second best receiver on the team now.
Wait, that's scary.
Yes.
So you don't believe in N'Keal Harry at all? You don't like D'Amir Byrd? You don't like these guys?
I mean, D'Amir Byrd's fine. D'Amir Byrd is, you know,
a special teams guy.
Philip Dorsett 2.0. It's like, you know, situationally.
And Harry, you think? And Harry, you think sucks?
I mean, I wouldn't say sucks, but I would say, yeah.
Well, they don't let me say it on Channel 5.
I would say no.
Can't say you're porked or that the guy sucks.
I don't think at this stage of his career he's a number two receiver. I don't think he's ready for that role on a contending team. No, I don't. There's still not enough. I still don't think he's quick enough in and out of the breaks, and I'm still not seeing enough after the catch. And I think his route tree is still limited. He just doesn't get enough separation.
To me, there's only one, you know, one way to throw in this game and throw reliably, and that's to the backs. I trust those guys, and I don't know whether the Patriots can pull that off or not. But I can throw to Burkhead. I can throw to White. I think I can throw to Harris. I can't throw to the tight ends. The receivers scare the crap. And Edelman. I mean, you know, I include Edelman in that. But the rest of them, I
think you're underselling. I think those guys, I think Bird and Harry are better than you think they are.
Maybe you're right.
But what I really believe is,
Harry couldn't line up last week.
So look, I was just going to say, if you can line up, if someone can get Harry lined up properly, but what I really think is that I'm still back to this, you know, the operation is going to make him greater than the sum of their parts. And Bill's going to get him open and Newton's going to trust him to catch the ball in a big spot where Brady wouldn't. I'm still on this. So the individual talent, is Byrd better than Dorsett? I don't know, but I feel like...
That's not a good sign. When you say, I don't know, like, that's not great. Yeah, you have to acknowledge that, Mike.
Well,
when you're like, is this guy better than Philip Dorsett? I don't know, but... I feel good about what they have. That's basically what you're saying.
No, I liked Philip Dorsett.
You did?
Yeah. I talked him up a lot last year. Like, they should throw to him more. Brady should go to him more. I felt that a lot.
Oh, so it was Brady holding Philip Dorsett back. I get it.
Maybe. I mean, he held a lot of guys back, I think.
Really?
No, yeah. He did, yeah.
Well, it's funny because you mentioned if someone could just show N'Keal Harry how to line up. The last quarterback tried to do that, and you ripped him for it.
Well, no, the coaches ripped him for it because he was such an a-hole. They said, shut your mouth, we'll do the coaching. Now that impediment has been removed, they just have a quarterback that shows up and does his job and, you know.
But I thought the reason he couldn't line up correctly was because he was so nervous and the quarterback didn't believe in him. It turns out he can't line up correctly because he doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, I don't know if it was nerves that he couldn't line up. Maybe he just doesn't have a good football sense.
Oh, yeah. Suck is suck.
But I think that this quarterback's willing to work with him, and I think this quarterback's willing to work with D'Amir Byrd, and I think those guys are fine. I think
really?
Those, yes, I do. I
he's
think
convincing him this, of well, this himself of this because he's so on Belichick.
So you don't think they need to like upgrade at wide receiver? They shouldn't make a trade. They should just ride it out.
Yeah.
Like Cam Newton said, the answers are in the locker room.
So I would rather them add on defense. And I am a believer that offensively when it comes to receivers, and I'm consistent about this back to 10 years ago,
sure.
Chris.
Yeah.
I don't believe in that individual receiver. You know, okay. The top off the deep, your fantasy receiver. I don't need.
D'Amir Byrd.
I don't care for. I care for a good scheme and a receiver that gets open and catches the ball, keeps his mouth shut, and goes back to the huddle and doesn't wow me. He just catches the ball. And the coordinator, for the most part, schemes it open, and the quarterback believes him, throw it like that. Deion Branch is all I need. I mean, that's it.
Deion Branch was pretty darn good. Like Deion, that's like a Pro Bowl caliber receiver. It's a long way from Philip Dorsett, D'Amir Byrd to Deion Branch.
He's not a pure physical on his own pro. He would not have made a Pro Bowl anywhere else other than here. without this scheme and Brady at that time trusting him and working with him and just getting open and catching the ball. That's all I need.
So you Chris. Think, wow, that is one of the ultimate shots to the great Deion Branch. Essentially, hey, Deion, Mike Felger saying you're as good as Damier Bird. Like, Damier Bird, Philip Dorsett, Deion Branch, all the same.
Kind of. System guys.
Wow. Oh.
Chris, how many points do you think they need to score to win this game?
30.
Yeah, I mean,
probably
I think
about right. Yeah.
Yeah, 30.
I think you might be able to get away with 28, but what's the difference?
Yeah, no, I mean,
I'm splitting hairs now. I'm splitting hairs. I'm not disputing that. I think you might be able to hold the Chiefs to 27. So, like, maybe.
So look, I don't know what the game plan is. If their game plan is to do that Colts thing from 2008, then you know what I'm about to say. It can't happen. But if they throw like they should and they throw, I think these guys are going to be just fine. Yep, you're going to see that they're just fine. And you ain't going to draft them in fantasy, and they're not individually, like, through the roof. But I don't think you need that. I think that individual, the weapon, look at his weapons. Like, I just think that's so overrated. And I've never been into that. You know, you can have all the weapons you want in Tampa, but if you line up off sides every other time, what good is it? You know, or you can't block it to protect your quarterback. He's getting clobbered because he's waiting for his wee weapon to take the top off the defense. What good is it? You're much better with just a good scheme and an open receiver and catch it, get down, and line up and run it again.
I mean, I wonder if you can just spread Kansas City out.
Like, use the running backs. I like your running backs thing. I think that's their linebackers are not exactly distinguished.
Well, so look, I'm just telling you that I think some of your best pass catchers come out of the backfield. So you want to put Edelman, you want to put a couple of receivers, running backs in receiver formations, receiver spots. Now you get three guys to cover. I just think Baltimore, the way Baltimore passes, they put everybody in the middle and they throw to the tight ends.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really test Kansas City's pass defense on the outside. So I don't know. Maybe you take a shot, spread them out, see what happens. See if they can match up out there.
Give me a final score, Chris.
Ooh, final score. I will go 31-23 Chiefs.
Okay, so he does not even have the Patriots covering, but he got as close to it as he could to just try and, you know, be as diplomatic as possible. He's a TV guy now.
Very coy.
Diplomatic.
No, very well thought out.
Yeah, he can't bury him completely. He wants to. Ooh, he and Murray are rooting so hard for Casey this week.
It was well thought out. No, it was well thought out.
That's not true. I mean, first of all, I've been on the Cam Newton train from the jump. I want Cam Newton to play really well. I just, unlike you, I don't think that Cam Newton or, you know, the love child of Joe Montana and Johnny Unitas can make this receiving core any better. It just, it is what it is.
Chris, you say 31-23?
Yeah.
I'm going 30-24.
Okay. Good for you, Maz.
All right, so your thoughts on that? Chris's thoughts on the Celtics, how it ended, and where they go from here. All of that with your calls on Agenda Free Friday right after these words.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.